will be caught up to be with the Lord. Main thing is that you be ready. That's the main thing. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And there's going to be, it ain't going to be a double message, but it might be a double emotional message, maybe. That might be the way to describe it this morning. Once you listen carefully, it's going to be an encouraging, challenging message, if I could maybe describe it. I'm glad what the Lord does for us. I look here and see prayers answered this morning. I'm glad Lindsay is able to be back with us, and they're adjusting them devices they put in him. Pray they get all that adjusted, and he'll be the bionic man again. And keep picking that guitar. We're glad he's here this morning. Others going for tests. Others waiting. Waiting things, waiting results, and we have all this, and our heart gets heavy. I asked Trish if you would sing that one song. That's why we had what we had. Our heart does get heavy. Our heart gets heavy of the things in this world, and for the things that we face. And I look, Miss Jean's back with us this morning, and glad Miss Jean's able to be back. And there's others in a hospital. I would love to see people get sick, people age, time passes quickly. And Clark was talking there right before service. He said, I didn't realize how old I done got until all my grandkids get married off and start getting married off. And it changes things. It changes time, changes the way we think. Changes the way we do. And I told him, I said, yeah, I understand. I said, we just started having grandchildren. Now I've got two teenage grandchildren. And it makes no sense. How can somebody as young as me and Cheryl have teenage grandchildren? It don't seem possible. But nevertheless, we understand that time passes quickly. But all of our dreams is not just for heaven. I mean, I dream like anybody else. They say if you get in a good sleep, you'll dream. Well, I can dream and be fully awake. Right? I think it's a state of mind. I don't think it's a state of sleep. I think it's a state of mind. And there are a lot of things that I wish for, a lot of things that I hope for. And on that thought today, I want us to look at some scripture here. We didn't try to match a message or find scripture to match the message. We was reading the scripture, and this is things that come to us while we was reading the scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, David is he's technically writing a song, and David's writings, a lot of people don't understand here, David was a prophet. Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 will tell us that David was a prophet. He was a king, but he was a prophet. That's what the Bible calls him. And things that he wrote, things that he said, were under the direction of the Holy Spirit. It says very plainly that he spake as the Lord would have him speak. And his song of deliverance there in chapter 22, if you read it, it's wonderful verses. And verse 31 says, as for God, his way is perfect. I like it. His word, the word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trust him. I'm glad he's perfect this morning. I'm glad for that. But even though so many thoughts have come together, even with the message this morning. I'm his child, and I have requests. I have desires, things I'd like to see. But then I have dreams. Of dreams of things I'd like to see. Then I have wants or wishes that things could be maybe different. You ever wish something could be different than it is? Well, you know, in some things, there's just not possible to change. But there is some things that's possible to change. If someone has a life of abuse and things like that, you can change that. You can get out of that. If you have a life of poverty, you'll get a job. You'll get two. You'll get three. I mean, there's things that can be changed. You know that? And if you can't get along with someone, well, then go repent and make it right. There's some things that can't be changed in life. Some things that can't. But we're going to dwell on both this morning. But I want to look here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to read a few verses, and we're going to skip several, and then we'll read a few more. All right, let's pray together, and let's see what we can see here in Scripture today. Father, I come, Lord, you're most wonderful. I sat in awe at the things you let take place and make happen and answer prayers of years past. And Lord, it just gives me faith and increases my faith to keep on praying. Lord, I thank you for the prayers that's been answered just for me this week alone. Lord, you come through, give me great joy in the way you answered it. And Lord, this one thank you. I want you to know I don't let it go without giving you a thanks this morning. I deserve nothing. You give me everything. Now, Lord, as I pray now, Lord, I need you now. Lord, I need you probably more now than I've ever needed you. I need you to help me to preach your word, not for my liking or wants, but because it's your word and needs to be preached and taught. Help me to stand upon it clearly. Help me never to back up on it. Help me to preach it with power, though this morning. Lord, I cannot do it in my own strength. I must have your strength, your touch this morning. And I'm asking again that you cleanse me from anything that would be a hindrance. Lord, move it out of the way this morning. May we focus upon the Word of God as it's presented, and then may we listen intently as you speak to our heart. And we're going to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, I ask all this in that lovely name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want you to look here. We're going to read, then we'll go back and speak about a few things. Let's look here. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He shall be as a light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. Now, that might seem odd scripture for just a moment, but we're going to stop there for just a bit before we continue reading. But I want you to think about some things that we all dream. And as we dream of better things and better things of people, and we have definite dreams, we have definite desires, things that don't always come through. There's some things we dream about that just don't come through like we had hoped. I think we can all agree to that, can we not? And David done the same thing. And let's look at some scripture. Let's go back to what we just read. And you'll get the gist of it here in just a minute, all right? Let's go back again. Let's look here in verse 1. Chapter 23 and verse 1. I'm getting an echo up here, Carl. Cut me back just a little bit. All right? It says, now these be the last words of David. Now this is not his words on his deathbed. All right, this is the last words they spoke after he finished the Psalms. All right, go back and study. These ain't his deathbed wishes, and this is not his commands to Solomon. We know he said a lot more after this. So that's not the last words he ever spoke. It's the last words of the Psalms and the Song of Deliverance and everything. Everybody follow me? All right. Now, and he starts out with, if you look at this, now he starts out talking about himself and then about the Lord. Now, I want to get you this because we got to examine ourselves. Before we can go on with God, we've got to look at ourselves. It says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. All right? He's trying to show who he is. Nothing he had was of his own. Everything that David was, he had of the Lord. It was because of the Lord. Can we read it again? David, the son of Jesse, said, the man whom was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. I wasn't able. My words mean nothing. Brother Rick said in Sunday school, my words mean nothing, but the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. It's what God says to us, or his words written is what's important. It's not our own thoughts. It's how what God says. And his word was in my tongue. See, he's praising the Lord here. Let's look on now. Hang with me now. Verse 3, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. The rock of Israel spake to me. Listen, God's speaking to me. He that ruleth over men must be just. Now, he has the command of the Lord. The Lord is instructing, telling him, said, if you're going to rule, you're going to have to be just. You're going to have to be right. And that's the way that's for us this morning. We need to be just. Can everybody agree to that? We need to be right. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. We talked last week about our rulers of our nation and everything. You're not going to get God on your side if you don't rule justly and for the Lord. We're not going to have no leaders in our country, no leaders in a church, no leaders in our home if we're not going to lead justly and do it for the Lord, all right, in the fear of the Lord. It says, that, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth. All right, and we're talking about the one who would rule here. When the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shinings after rain. And he praises the Lord. David always had a heart for the Lord. He praised the Lord, wanted the Lord's leadership, been told to lead by justice. But then he says something here. He said, although my house be not so. See, David had a desire that his whole house serve the Lord. But there were some dreams and desires he had that he had no control over. And if you go back and read about Absalom and Amnon and all these children and the way they acted, the way they dealt, and the way they dealt with people, his desires didn't come through. See, there's a lot of time we dream, I want you to think about that, we dream about things, we would love to see things that can't happen. I reckon they could, but it's not under our power. It's going to take some change. And he's confessing here, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. He said, although I don't get everything I want, and I don't get everything I dream about, and I've got some things I'd still like to see, the Lord's word's still good to me. He made a covenant. The Lord's still faithful. Now, we get down in the mouth, and we've been down in the mouth for a long time because there's some things that we had hoped and wanted and thought it was going to be, and it ain't like that, and we've down in the mouth about it. But God's Word's still true this morning. I want to encourage you that His promises are still true. And His will, His direct, holy will, don't change. Is everybody listening to me? And we get down about things when it don't pan out the way we thought it should, or even with our wishes. Although my house, verse 5, be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. It didn't come to pass, but it has nothing to do with his promises to me. They're still right. Are you following me this morning? Talk to me if you're following me. All right? So there are some things that we've hoped and we've wanted and ain't seen them yet, but his word is still true. His word is still true. I thought of all those who have prayed and then passed on, but yet their prayers are still heard, though they've been gone for years. And their desires maybe not was seen of yet. Huh? I read over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that there at the end of the chapter, when it says, and them having not yet received the promise. They didn't get it then. But God's word's still true. And I want to encourage you this morning and let you know that God's promises and everything that he said he would do, he will still do some way. I may not see it exactly the way I wanted to see it. David had desires for his whole house. He said, although my house be not so with God. He said, the Lord spake by me. He bragged on the Lord. He bragged on him how great he was. Are you still following me? But now let's drop down. There in verse 8, David gets him some mighty men. Now today is my Sunday with my mighty men. And I look forward to spending some time with them young men today. David had some mighty men. And it would do you good to read about these mighty men. They weren't just anybody. They were dedicated men. Had some funny names, but they were dedicated men. And they wasn't your just run-of-the-mill guys. They were the guys that when they fought, they didn't need an army. They'd take on armies by themselves. They'd find them with a sword left in their hand, clave in their hand. They then fought so long they couldn't, their grip wouldn't let go. They wasn't going to turn loose. Are you listening to me? But where I want to pick up now is verse 14. He said, and David was then in a hold. Right? He was hid out in a safe place. He was in the cave of Adullam. If you read in verse 13, he was in the cave of Adullam. Now, we find he was in the cave of Adullam earlier when he run from Saul, but he ain't running from Saul now. He's now in battle with the Philistines. It says, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David's in a cave in a safe place looking over, and the Philistines got the home ground. Verse 15 said, and David longed. David longed. What's that mean? And David longed. He wanted, desired, dreamed. That's what he was wanting. He was longing. Huh? He was longing. And said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. He had some dreams this morning. Can I preach to you just for a minute, if I could again? If I could again. I want you to listen. Everybody understand me so far? Talk about desires. If I could again. And I thought, I do a lot of it here in the last few weeks. I've had some issues, of my personal issues, and I've had to sit a lot. And if I get on the lawnmower, I think. If I'm out by the garden, I think. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But nevertheless, I think, like I told you, I do a lot of my dreaming when I'm awake. I don't do much dreaming when I'm asleep, but I do a lot while I'm awake. And desires are the things that I would like. And as David has some things, David is sitting up there in a cave in a hot time of harvest and dry and needing a drink of water, needing something. And he didn't just want a drink. He said, "Boy, I wish I had a drink out of the well of Bethlehem. When things was right, when I was back down the house and everything was peaceful and I could give me a good drink out of the old well, and boy, that would do me good." And we also know, if we want to spiritualize this and look, as David was a prophet, he's looking forward to the one, the star of Bethlehem and the well of Bethlehem that's going to give everlasting water. If you want to trace all that back, you can do it. All right, but right now we're just looking at it how it's written. Is everybody okay? And David longed for something that it seemed like it was impossible to have. Well, I long sometimes. Boy, if I could again, you know what? If I could again, I would like to go back and sit again at the house with all the family when they're all there. I mean, Papa's still alive and Mama and Mama and Daddy. All of them are all together and have church at home. I would love, if I could again, go back to where we had church at home. See, I didn't have maybe the home raising y'all did. I had a heritage that I should be way up here when it comes to spiritual things. I'm not. But boy, I ought to be for the way I was raised and what I got to experience. That we would have church on Sunday morning, as I told you many times. And then on Sunday afternoon, we had church every Sunday afternoon up until time to go to church again. Then we'd have church at the church house. And that was how we lived. We sang, and I watched them shout up and down the living room and through the dining room and out on the front porch in the patio. I watched them, and it wasn't no congregation, just family, as we would worship and praise the Lord. And to go by and listen to the praying and watch the tears flow and see the things that, boy, if I could again, I'd love to go back to that. I would. I'd love to go back. For me, it was easy. But you know, it wasn't easy for them. The times were harder then, the way they worked and how they had to provide. But it was easy for me. I had no obligation. I had no pressure. I had no job. I didn't have no bills to pay. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could go to a place that we didn't have no bills anymore, or didn't have no pressure or nothing going on? Wouldn't it be good if we could do that again? Huh? Are you following me this morning? When I dream something like that. I dream, and them dreams will never come true again. I'll never be able to do what I done then. I'll never be able to see all my family together in that house, in my papa's house, and shouting up and down the floor. That's never going to happen again. The house is gone. Many of the family don't even remember the house. It's gone, dozed over, grass and flower beds in the place of it. That's gone. But boy, if I could again, yeah, I'd love to do it. Yeah. If I could again, when Daddy was pastor in Dothan, every Sunday, we all ate together. B.B. was done married off. Bernie was married off. Me and Kenny was still home, but every Sunday. And we had built a new house, and I'll never forget, and you may be bored with this, I'm sorry, but when they built that new house, Daddy built the new house, they got one of them ovens that had an oven on top and an oven on the bottom, because that was new to us, and that was big time, you know, we was rich, man. We had water. We all didn't have to bath in the same water. We all could have our own shower. That was amazing. That was amazing. We didn't have to carry water out of the creek to flush commode. It was wonderful. We had water. Now, it was red as blood, but it had water. Huh? Are you listening to me? But Mommy, on that stove, Mommy had a timer she could set. And she cook Sunday dinner before we ever went to church, and she'd have everything, and the timer would come on, and the food would be warm when we got to the house. And Mama, if she didn't go with us, she would go over at a certain time and put the rolls in. And we'd have rolls, you know. And we'd all get home, and all of us would cramp up in that little house, and we all have Sunday there. If I could go back to that, I would love to go back to that. Y'all got any memories like that? I would love to go back to that. Huh? Hey, Jen, all your tribe. I always told Jennifer, the old lady lived in a shoe, had so many kids, didn't know what to do. Do you ever miss all of them, little, at the table? Huh? They're married off, and you're a grandma now. But do you ever miss all of them together? Huh? There's times like that. We miss Mom and Dad and the things that we took for granted. But we can't never go back there. And that's sad. We'll never get to go back there. Never. That ain't going to happen. The houses are gone. The people's gone. And we just ain't going to do it. Huh? I wondered years ago, I was little, and I would listen to my papa talk about that. And I'd listen to him sing. And we'd go up a holler sometimes to where the old log house sat. And we went over to the spring. We was up there digging dogwood trees and maple trees and some things and wrapping them up in burlap. And he went over by an old rock and sat down and just cried. And I wondered, I said, Popo, you know, in my mind, what's going on? Well, what he was doing, he was where the old spring used to be. And then I heard him talk about, they've done covered up the spring and I have nothing left. Nothing there. But boy, he wanted if he could go back. So we have things like that to go back. But then I look here and David had the same thought. Huh? You know, sometimes we look at the scripture and we wonder why it's even there. Why would it be mentioned? Why would it be mentioned about things of the past that they long for? Is that not what it says? In verse 14, and David was then in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So it ain't just the things that can't be God, but I thought of some things, and I'm going to see maybe, I don't know what your desires are. But I'm going to give you my heart this morning, if I can. And give you my heart as a pastor and tell you some things that I miss. Or that I will desire, that I want, that if I could again, it ain't just to go back as a kid, but if I could go back, and I just jotted down a few things and see, you know, to a time when all my family, you know, got together. That was good. But I like to go back to a time where I have health and ability. I'm learning that I can't do what I used to do. I'm learning that I'm still a young man, but I can't do. Things just took its toll. Stroke and heart attack just took its toll. And falling off that house this last fall about done me in. I ain't recovered yet. I would love to go back to... But that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. I'm not going to go back to what I was 30 years. I'll never be a 35-year-old man again. That ain't going to happen. Huh? But, when I dream and when I desire, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back when our country meant something to everybody. I wish I could go back to where our country was patriotic and instead of just wanting to party, they really celebrated freedom. And go back to a time when our country meant something for God and for people. But where the teaching in the home and the teaching in the school was patriotic, when people were patriotic, when they respected the flag and respected one another, respected the country, respected authority, when boys and girls were taught to respect the police, and when boys and girls were taught to respect judges and doctors and people of authority, when boys and girls were taught to respect senators and congressmen and presidents because of the integrity and the character. I wish I could go back to that. I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I could again go back to that. But see, it ain't just like that. I wish I could go back to a time when the country feared God. How about when the church feared God? How about when Christians feared God? I wish I could go back to a time when Christians honored God. When Christians did. Huh? I wish I could go back to a time when the church was powerful. Huh? When the Holy Spirit was free and wasn't bound up because of resentments and bitterness and hatred and politics hatred and family hatred and people who loved the world instead of loving God but was powerful with the Holy Ghost in the church house. I would like to go back again where Christians, when they got saved, that they stayed in church and they made you always wonder instead of making you wonder like you do today if they really got saved. But they confirmed their salvation because they loved the Lord and went to church. I'd like to go back to a time when Christians loved one another and when you shook hands one with another and you visited one another and you prayed one for another. I'd like to go back to a time. I'd like if we could again go back to where the Word of God was real in the home and the Word of God was real in our heart and the Word of God was real in our church house. That we didn't come to get entertained, but we come to hear, thus saith the Lord, that we would rise up and walk right and do right. I would again, that's what I would like to do again, was go back to a time when our commitments was real, when our vows was real, when marriages stayed together and there wasn't all the trading offs that they are today, that people got married and they stayed married through the hard times and the good times. Through they done right, regardless they done right. I'd like to go back to the time when children would say yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am because they were taught that at the house. See, there's a lot of things I would like to go back to. I would like to go back to where when we come to the church house, we had already spent time with the Lord. See, I remember. See, what bothers me is I remember the things. See, I didn't start in church today. I didn't start last week. I go back. I go way back to before a lot of y'all ever come to know Christ. I was raised in church. I remember them getting behind the barns and praying. I remember them by the roadside praying. I remember them shouting in the parking lot when they drove up on the church lot. And because the Spirit of God was so real that when they was getting out of their car, they was already weeping because they spent time with God. I would like to go back to that instead of the deadness of Christianity today and the deadness of the church today and the foolishness that's in believers' hearts and minds, where it's hypocrisy instead of truth. That's what I'd like to go back to, where people love the Lord and really love the Lord and wanted to live for the Lord. That's what I wish I could go back to this morning. I'd like to go back to the choir singing, but we got to change the notes because nobody will try to sing and want to sing and want to be in a choir and want to do the thing. I'd like to go back to where we could do that. There's a lot of things I wish for this morning. Yeah. Yeah. We're all right so far. Yeah. I'd like to go back to where when you went to the church house, that people wasn't afraid to testify because God done something for them that week. But undoubtedly, we live in a day where God don't do nothing for anybody no more because we won't stand and tell us. We won't stand and brag on Him. I'd like to go back when Christians were glad they were saved, when they was glad they wasn't a drunkard no more, when they was glad they wasn't a dope head no more, when they was glad they wasn't laying down in the ditch and the family members having to drag them back in a church house. See, I've been on both sides of that. I've been on the side where I went with family and drug them back in the house where they was drunk and where they didn't know who they was and watch them get saved and then we go get others. I've just seen all. I know what God has done. Hey, I'd like to go back. I long for some things this morning. Huh? We okay? I long for somebody prays that they ain't scared because they've already been spending time with God and people don't care. They don't care what people think. I want to pray. I talk to the Master. Huh? Huh? Oh, there's some things I long for this morning. I understand when David said, oh, if I could just get a drink out of the well of Bethlehem. If I had just a little bit of something that would give me, revive me just a little bit. That's what I'd like to do this morning. Huh? We still okay? I'd like to go back where we still prayed over a power bill, whether we had money or not. I'd like to go back to a time where we still prayed for a bag of groceries, whether we had to or not. Huh? If we don't have to pray, God, give me the money for another loaf of bread. And let me tell you something, I've done been there. I've done been there where I've had to pray for bread. You may not have, but I have. Huh? You may not have had to pray for your power bill, but I've had to pray for it many times. Huh? You may not have had to pray for a tank of gas to go to work, but I begged God through the night for some way to get a tank of gas to go be able to go to work again and take a chance on the check not being good when they pay you in payroll time. Huh? If I got everything I need, then why don't we just get out and thank the Lord for what He provided? But we can't do that anymore. Oh, but I long for the day. I long for the day. I long for the day that husbands still tell their wives they love them, where wives still tell their husbands they love them. Huh? Where there's not no screaming and hollering in the house, but there's peace and contentment. Huh? I like it. I long for the day when there's a spirit, a Holy Spirit in the church house again, instead of the defeated attitude that's in the church house today. I'm not on the losing side. I'm on the winning side this morning. I'm saved and sure and ready to go home. And there will be on a shadow of a doubt. When Christ comes, I get to go with Him. I'm not worried about the world. Hey, I'm not worried about who's in the White House. I'm going to vote the Bible the best I can. But it's hard to vote the Bible for a bunch of heathen sinners. But I'll do the best I can. But I'm going to trust the Lord. But my faith ain't in White House. My faith in a house far above that God has made this morning. Huh? Hear me this morning. That's what I long for. That's what I long for. What you long for. Huh? That's what I long for. I long for today when we just go ahead and say, I believe the Bible and forget it. Huh? I long for the day when we live the Bible. Huh? I long for that day. But we don't have it today. See, I long for the day when sinners didn't go to church. Christians did. And they loved the Lord. And you say, wait a minute, how, why do you long for that day? Well, now, there's no difference. You used to be able to tell the difference. And the lost people would go get the sinner man. Huh? When you had revival, there was enough of Christian living in the church house that the lost people would come. Huh? But now, and I told you, and I'll tell you again, it ain't been that long, it's been, 2 years maybe, when the owner of the tractor bar, I was talking to him, witnessed to him up at Lowe's, and he said, Now, preacher, we're in the same business, helping people. And I said, no, Steve, we're not. We're not. We may have the same customers, but we're not in the same business. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, that's what I long for. I don't long for riches. I don't long for fame. I don't long for prestige. But boy, there's some things I miss that I long for. Huh? I long for the day that when people come to church, they can't wait, and not even before the church. So they, hey, listen, y'all, I got to say something for the Lord. It's burning in my heart. Now we can't keep you waiting long enough to see if you want to say something. Why? Because you ain't slept on Saturday night, and what? Because you was up all night praying. If I was to ask you, and please do not raise your hand, if I was to ask you, how many Saturday nights have you spent all night in prayer? How many times would you be able to say? Have you ever spent a Saturday night in prayer? Have you ever turned the TV off and got alone and set you an alarm in case you doze off, but you went in to pray? You didn't go into bed. You went in to pray. And you stayed on your face all night to God just for Sunday. Have you ever? Have you ever? I long for the day. I'm not bragging on, but I long for the day to where my heart's tender enough to do it again. For years. Every Saturday night, I'd kiss Cheryl Ann goodnight, and the boys would go to bed and kiss them goodnight, and I'd go back in the living room. Every Saturday night, I'd pray till daylight over and weep over people. Oh, I long for the day that my heart's tender again. I long for the day that the Holy Spirit draws on me and moves me again. I long for that day for me. Are you listening to me this morning? David longed for a drink from the wells of Bethlehem. Oh, that one would just give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. I long for a day again when church was a priority, that our lives was planned around church instead of trying to fit in church somewhere through our plan. There's a vast difference there. There's a vast difference there. When we plan our life around the church house. But now we got to fit it in. We got to fit it in just like we do the Lord. The handout. You got the handout. Rick, you got your handout this morning? Let me have it. I thought the handout was a wonderful thing. No, I need a handout. So I have a handout right here. Here, I need the handout from this morning. I think I left mine laying on my desk. Let me read you something. Can I read you something? I thought, boy, I'd like to have this on a big plaque out there in the hallway. This was an inscription on the cathedral in Lübeck, Germany. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and choose me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me might and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. I thought, wow. I long for that day to where everything is the priority of the Lord. The Lord's the priority. Number one. I long for that day. That's what I long for. David, I understand. I understand you being in exile, looking up there, and the Philistines got the garrison and everything bottled up there in Bethlehem. I can see this in my mind. Can you picture this? And I picture David in the cave there to Adullam, and his men with him, and I picture him looking over there and thinking, said, you know, it's a shame. In his heart, he's thinking, you know, it's a shame that I'm in a cave instead of down there by the well. It's a shame that I can't get to what I'm supposed to have. That's what he's saying. You understand that? I'm longing for what I should have had. I should have never left. Should have never let them run me out. If I'd stayed where God wanted me, they wouldn't have took over Bethlehem. That's what he's saying. But because of the world and because of the cares of the world and the want of riches, what we sacrifice for a dollar has ruined the church house. Somebody said to me, they said, we read something, preacher. Wonder if this is you. Said, if you cut all the finances off, you find out who was called and who wasn't when it comes to preaching. Well, I'm here to tell you, the dollar bill don't mean nothing to this preacher. Wouldn't affect me one bit. You understand that? Because I still know how to work. Everybody understand me? But I long for the day when a dollar don't control the church house. Because I put such and such in, then I want my way. That don't fly with me. I don't care how much you put in. I don't care how much you put in. If you don't put nothing in, don't affect me. Everybody hear me?
Yes.
Lord takes care of all that. I'm just telling you, David longed for some things. And you say, well, is that all your message is? No. That's just the long, that's the first point. See, I long for a time when all of these things, I long for that. All these things I mentioned. And you say, well, that's gone. Well, but I'm afraid it's not. See, now where the challenge comes in. Now let's look at verse 16. Let's read 15 and 16 together so you'll get back to the gist of what I'm saying here. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, don't just give me a drink of water. That ain't what he wanted. Don't give me a drink of water out of the creek. Don't give me a drink of water out of the rainwater out of the backside of the cave. No, I don't want a drink, though I'm thirsty. That ain't what I want, a drink of the well, out of the well of Bethlehem. I want a distinct place, God's place, God's well. I want that. That's what I want. And it says in verse 16, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Now, do we understand what happened here? The whole Philistine army is there in Bethlehem. Their garrison is there. They're forwarded up there. Everybody's there. And David is speaking out loud. And he says, oh, that I could, somebody would give me a drink out of the well of Bethlehem. And three of these mighty men heard him say it. Now, I do not know their conversation, but they had to have one. Would you agree to that? David wants a drink out of the well. Boys, let's go get him a drink. Do you understand what that done? Do you understand what happened? Talk to me. They had to leave the cave, go down across the holler, back up the other side, work their way through all the sentries and all the armies and all the garrison, go there, draw water, get in the canteen, come all the way back through all the sentries, all that, just because David wanted a drink. Everybody follow me? Well, that would have been impossible, wouldn't it? How many men here would have done that? If I told y'all, I said, hey, fellas, I said, down there at Winona, up the Smokeless Hollow, there's a spring up above the reservoir. Man, it'd be good. Instead of getting me a bottle of that old plastic water, Would any of you fellas run down there and get me some of that? Now, you're going to have to go through three patches of Baltiflora Rose and Blackberry Bars, and you're going to have to watch out for the copperheads, because there's a lot of them up Smokeless Hollow. And you're going to have to dig down, because the spring's all dried up there anyway. And dig down there and get me a drink of water. Anybody here to ever do it for me? Not one of you do it. Huh? In fact, I got to get a young fella to go get me a bottle of water, because the old ones ain't able to get up the steps to get them. Do you know what the mighty men said? They said, if that's what is longed for, then that's what we'll do. Now, David didn't just want it for himself, because it says what he done with it there in the last part of the verse 16. He says, and they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. But he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. You know, for the things that I told you that I longed for about home, they're not a thing nobody can do about it. You can't bring Papa and Mama and Mama and Daddy back. You can't get us back over to the house. You can't roll 40 years, 45 years off of me. You can't do that. You ain't able to do that. You ain't able to go back and fix the Sunday dinners and the chicken and dumplings and the cookouts when the preachers would come over to visit. See, I lived at a time when preachers come to visit, they come to visit all day. And we stop their work. And we sit at the picnic table and we cook a meal. When Preacher Grimmett would come to the house from up in Hinton, he would come to the house. I never remember Preacher Grimmett visiting in a work clothes. He always visited in a shirt and tie, him and Josephine, and they'd visit, and we stopped everything. Never knew they was coming, and we'd go up, and my mom would fix chicken and dumplings, and we'd call everybody in, and we'd sit on the picnic table and eat. Man, we would eat big just because Preacher Grimmett come to visit. Then it was church time. Whatever day it was church time then. We had church. My mom would sing, and BB'd play, and then as I got bigger, I'd play. And Lindsay's probably been there at a time or two at some of the pickings when we would have church. But Lindsay stayed at our house as much as he did anywhere else there for a long time, playing music. Now hear me. If I could go back, y'all can't do that. But let me tell you what you can do. What we can do is have some mighty men and some mighty women that'll go ahead and devote themselves to the Lord, that they'll be all for God. We do have the opportunity for some mighty men and mighty women to get along with God and pray heaven down. We do have the ability to have some mighty men and even mighty women that'll make church their priority, God their priority, that'll be willing to stand and testify on what God done for you that week, because they was some specific things He done for you that week, huh? We got men and women will do that. Y'all follow me? See, David longed for it. It was impossible. But the mighty man said, hey, we got this. We got this. See, we got men and women today that'll make our country patriotic again. We've got them. If we'll just go do it. We've got them. We've got men and women. Huh? That'll do all the things I said I long for. Huh? But the point of the whole thing is, they got to be willing. They got to be willing to go do it. Got to be willing to sacrifice. When's the last time you sacrificed for the Lord? When's the last time you give up something for the Lord? When's the last time? When's the last time that something come up and you've told the family, I can't? We got to do some things at the church. When's the last time a church became a priority? When's the last time a Sunday meant something? When's the last time? See, we got men and women that'll do it. But doing it is the problem. We live in the greatest nation as far as the greatest youngest nation. Israel, I reckon, is still technically the greatest nation. But there's nothing that an American can't make or invent, build. We do it all. And we're living in that robotic age that Brother Rick was talking about. Y'all know when Miss Jean had her surgery, they said, now, this is going to be so tedious, but we have robots that are programmed to go right in there to the very, calibrated to do the very thing. Yeah. Nowadays, when you go, you don't have the old feller that puts his glasses down on the end of his nose and says, all right, give him a stick to bite on, let's cut him right here. You don't have that no more. You know, you got them robots that, and we've got some unliving creature doing all of our stuff for us. To where Facebook is our church. We even have worship leaders now, so we don't have to worship. We got praise teams, so we don't have to praise. Robots. Because they can't give my praise. Only what they're programmed to do. What we need is some mighty men. Boy, if I could again. If I could again. Father, simple thoughts. Simple thoughts from your word. Lord, I want to be a mighty man. We'll have time with our mighty men today. Help me to teach them. Help me to train them. Help me not to be fake in front of them, Lord God. Help me to be real. Help me, Lord, to be real in front of this congregation, God. Help me to be a doer, not a hearer. Lord, I pray for this congregation this morning. Lord, you know every need. Those who watch live stream, God, you hear it all. You know it all. You know who's listening, watching. Lord, you speak, you draw, you move. But please, please move on me as well, that I might be what I need to be. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's